You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. It's time now for It's My Money with Brenthurst Wealth. And with me from Brenthurst Wealth is Magnus Haystack. Magnus, there was a piece in the Business Day which was attributed to you, which talks about the currency and other measures of South Africa's malaise or economy, let's put it that way. Give me the basis of this Business Day article, if you would.
We've been talking about this a long time, and the numbers are starting to come through that the structural problems that we have been dealing with for the last couple of years are now reflected in the actual returns on various asset classes, especially equities, property, and of course currencies. And there was, or until recently, almost a sense of denial amongst the large asset management companies in South Africa and amongst investors in general that this is short term, it's cyclical, and it'll go away quite soon. And now we have a period of almost 10 years of currency declining, the stock market underperforming very, very badly. Our property market has not done much in 10 years when you compare it to the rest of the world. And quite simply, most South Africans have become extremely poor in international terms. They don't realize it. They kind of sense that they're running short of cash, but the numbers are suddenly looking very, very horrific indeed. And
yes,
it is time that people wake up to the real damage that has been caused to their personal balance sheets.
Yeah, the charts that you kindly sent me earlier on, it's very, very complicated. And of course, radio and podcasting doesn't allow us to really describe it adequately. But you've put up various lines, JSE All Share Total Return, S&P Total Return, MSCI Emerging Total Return in US dollar terms, Dow Jones MSCI Total Return in USD. But anyway, it goes on. But the simple fact is, we've gone nowhere for 10 years, whereas other markets have.
Well, especially the U.S. market has done exceedingly well in dollar terms. It's in 10 years, it's almost doubled. In dollar terms, the JSE has gone back by 5%. So if you put in $1 million 10 years ago in our market, you're taking out less than $1 million. Whereas if you put it in the U.S. market, you're taking out $2 million, which is a substantial difference in real wealth. We're not even talking about the currency factor. So even in dollar terms, we've gone nowhere. Even if you convert it into rand, our market is just lagging over 1, 3, 5, 7, and 12 years against emerging markets, against developed markets, against Europe. You know, I battle to find any other stock market that has done so poorly, so consistently over that period of time. Yet when you talk to the average investor, they kind of think it's fine, it's not too bad. But when you say to them that their internal rate of return on their pension fund has been 2% for the last 3 or 5 years, they say, what are you talking about? Mm. And that's the reality that we face now. If you look at almost every one of the large asset managers, whether it's Old Mutual or Liberty or Sanlam, even Allan Gray, you have gone backwards had you not considerably increased your offshore exposure. And yet there are a lot of people who are still loyal and faithful to the JSE as if it's some kind of a political party or whatever, or a rugby team, but it's not. And people are getting extremely poor. And if you combine that to what's happening in the residential property market, you know, that's a double whammy where people can't sell their properties and get substantially lower prices. The pension funds haven't gone up. So we're talking about a real, real crunch on middle-class wealth in South Africa, and it's not spoken about enough. It seems to be, let's not rather speak about this. Let's talk about something else, but it's a reality, and people need to confront it.
Yeah, it's almost the same as the Brexit situation. I watched the Health Minister of the United Kingdom on the BBC a couple of mornings ago, and the interviewer said, well, you're a minister, you're a member of the cabinet, what about Brexit? He says, I'm not here to talk about Brexit. I'm here to talk about, knife crime and that sort of thing, which is fine. But on the other hand, people seem to be brushing it aside. It's almost as though there's some kind of ostrich syndrome here. Put your head in the sand and it'll go away.
Yeah, well, that's quite true. I mean, now we as South Africans watch what's happening in Brexit. That's also very, very confusing. But these things I'm talking about is rands and cents in your pocket. And yes. You know, we even just anecdotally around the braais and dinner parties or people are talking to each other in hushed tones about their personal finances, saying, you know, Lindsay, are you as broke as I am, kind of stuff? And then people start admitting, yes, I'm broke. I've got no money. I've got, there's no cash flow in my business.
Yes.
I cannot sell my property as quickly as I used to be. The old days of an access bond is gone because you have to reapply again. And my stock market's investments have gone nowhere. And there's a real, real desperate search for cash in the South African economy, and you can see it in all the metrics, you know, car sales and membership of medical aids and empty rugby stadiums on a Saturday afternoon, which is extremely visible. You can watch a big game and there's barely 5,000 people in the stadium, and you flick over to a premiership game in the UK and you get 50,000 people. So it's all a reflection of people running out of money.
Yeah, they really are. Now, you've made yourself unpopular with certain other people on social media because of what many people see as your crusade. But again, that's sort of symptomatic of the ostrich with its head in the sand syndrome. And when is it going to come home to roost, do you think? Well, it's already coming home to roost because so many people are leaving the country.
Well, it is now happening. I mean, investors are now abandoning their traditional investment advisors and just saying, I cannot take your rubbish anymore. I cannot listen to another story of wait for the upturn and this is normal. And they're just abandoning the advisors. And we see it in our practice and elsewhere. People are just cashing out this stuff and saying, thank you. Cash is a far better option than some of the products that you are recommending to me. And, you know, Lindsay, I recall 3-4 years ago, a fellow financial advisor writing a vicious article about my so-called crusade, and he called me a financial pornographer.
Really? That's quite a phrase. Let me write that down.
I still battled to understand what he was trying to say, but in the article he was slamming me and saying people should not be scared into taking their money offshore. We have a great stock market and it offers exceptional rand hedge qualities, et cetera, et cetera. But unfortunately, the numbers are just not there. I mean, the numbers the last 3 years are negative, absolutely negative. 5 years, you got 2 or 3% per year. And over 10 years, you know, 10%, you might seem okay, but inflation over 10 years was about 6%. So there's a real, real crisis developing in pension funds and discretionary portfolios. And simply put, there are alternatives and very nice alternatives.
Yeah, there are. And you've been espousing the case for those relevant alternatives. At some point, though, will you say to yourself, well, things are so cheap that we have to get back in and bring some of the money that we sent out back into the country? Can you see the light at the end of the tunnel is what I'm saying?
I can't see it yet. You know, I look at many, many metrics all the time and I look for any upturn. I'd like to report and say, yes, now's the time to buy because foreigners have started buying again, which they haven't in 5 years. The outflow has just continued at an ever-increasing pace. B, I'd like to see profitability start turning upwards, and that's not happening. Thirdly, business confidence, consumer confidence needs to turn. APSA Purchasing Managing Index needs to turn. Structural adjustments need to be made. You simply don't see it. It's just not there. So, you know, based on that, I think it's irresponsible for me to say I can now start buying the local market because, you know, it's the loyal thing to do, et cetera, et cetera. And that's simply not going to happen.
So what do we do, Magnus? I mean, I know what you're going to say, but I need the details of it. You're a financial pornographer, according to one of your adversaries. I call you a crusader. Whatever you are, what do we do?
Well, you know, I've been saying for a long time, even with yourself, I've been saying that our cash and income and bond funds have been a fantastic place to be for the last 10 years, 7 years, 5 years. But we're not a bond or income type of investing community. We're all fixated on equities, and rightly so. Until about 2010, the JSE has been a phenomenal place to be for many, many decades. Gold, platinum, diamonds, retailers, property. You know, it was a fantastic place, but that the story is gone. It's run. So most of our portfolios have got maximum exposure, if not more, in cash, high-income funds, bond funds, giving you 8 to 10%. And then for capital growth, you get it offshore, and that's been very simple but a very effective asset allocation. The reason being our asset managers don't like the income funds as much because the fees that they earn on them are much, much lower than on the equity funds. So we tend to be an equity-dominated investment community. But even Kevin Lings from Stanlib recently at a conference got up and shocked the audience when he said, South African investors need to, you know, end their love affair with equities and look at other asset classes, and I tend to agree. So it's hard to argue against the facts all the time. And I think investors are now starting to see the signs.
I've got all sorts of things coming across Twitter about the SECI Business Confidence Index, which came out at 11:30 today, and it doesn't really inspire any confidence for the future. At some point, of course, it will turn, or at some point, the economy and confidence will start to plateau form a base at the bottom. But the upturn is the thing that I worry about. I mean, obviously, you can't go much lower than zero, but on the other hand, to turn up from zero is a massive task for South Africa, and I don't see the leadership politically or even at corporate level?
Well, corporate South Africa has been accused of not interfering too much or not making too many comments. They got vested interest with government, and it's normally been or historically been the death knell for someone to stick their neck out because, you know, the government will jump on them. So it's a career-limiting decision to criticize or openly criticize government. But I think that it's gone so far and so bad that people like Mike Brown from Nedbank has now gotten up and says, guys, we need to do something. We are almost beyond recovery. I mean, RMB's Roger Jardine yesterday, I said, got up, he stuck his neck out. Because I think they are looking at their businesses, they're looking at the numbers and the future numbers, and they're looking horrendous. And something needs to be done because there's not much happening within government. You know, task teams and research committees and planning committees there's not real stuff happening on the ground. And our economy is in a very, very bad shape. And we will see it at the end of this month when Tito Mboweni gets up, who's almost been the only cabinet minister speaking his mind, saying, guys, we cannot carry on like this. We are broke. And then he gets slammed by everybody again. But that's at least a good sign that Mboweni is prepared to get up and say, we are broke. We have reached the end of this little fiscal path.
But you can, from a personal finance point of view, and this feature is called It's My Money, you can do something, even if you haven't got the will or the means to leave South Africa, or if you don't want to leave South Africa, you can do something about it.
Of course you can. All you need to do is look at your asset allocation. Have a look at all your investments and say, where can I make changes to my asset allocation? And most people have the same old boring stuff, 4 balanced funds, and you're going to get the same return as everybody else. Now, you can make changes within those portfolios, whether they're unit trusts or retirement annuities or pension funds or whatever the case might be. And more importantly, if you're older than 55 and you at that point you can take your money out of RAs, preservation funds, and funds like that, and either withdraw the full amount or convert it to a living annuity where you can get 100% offshore exposure. So there are a number of alternatives. But once again, the big institutions will not publicly go out and tell you to do this because it's against their interest that you move money away from their funds, because again it comes down to fees and assets under management. and they'd rather keep quiet about the options. So you need independent people like us who gets up and says, "This, you can do this," and we've been extremely busy with that, taking money away from non-performing retirement annuities, putting it into living annuities, and getting 15 to 20% over the last year. I mean, that's been done on a very large scale.
What do you do at Brentos Wealth when someone comes into your office today and sits down with you after you've had your afternoon nap, Magnus, which we were joking about earlier on, and they say, "Right, I've got a little bit of money here. I'm a little bit worried about South Africa and its future, but my family's here, my friends are here, I love the country, I'm a loyal South African, and I do think at some stage it's going to do well. But in the meantime, I need to ameliorate the risks involved in being South Africa." What do you say to them?
Say to them, "You don't have to leave the country. I mean, we do not recommend that people leave the country or back up and go. That's a very, very personal decision. But we say you have to break the mindset that all your money must be invested in South Africa. In fact, you can very, very comfortably live a great life in South Africa, having most of your money either externalized in foreign funds or within your various structures, having made up asset swaps or the Rand feeder funds. So you can comfortably live in SA and have all your assets in dollars, which has been a great recipe the last 10 to 15 years. Well, if the cycle changes, you can bring it back or make the changes in your asset allocation. The key comes down to the correct asset allocation. Right now, the time is, and it has been for a long time, very little SA exposure and most of it offshore. It might change in the future, but then you need to change at that point in time. It still remains my recommendation for two reasons. One is we've got the issues of prescribed assets coming our way, and I don't think that's going to go away. And the second one is, and we tell a lot of people, just in case there is a return to exchange control, have a bit of a nest egg in a foreign country, in the foreign bank account. And that does receive a lot of positive, acceptance amongst the investing public. They're quite comfortable with that.
Magnus, thanks so much for your insight. That's Magnus Haystack from Brentos Wealth. It's My Money was brought to you by Brentos Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.